Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. And I'm here with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello.
How are you doing, Catherine?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
Well, obviously, our listeners can probably hear that I've had a little bit of a cold, and I will do my best to keep my voice up during the show. However, you may have to, like, repeat some things if it goes out from underneath me, so to speak.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So I want to invite our listeners to visit our webpage, which is dunamoscenter.com. And that is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. And what will they find when they get there?
Lots of good stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You can learn all about us. You can visit our store and see what products and books we have to offer for you to buy. Maybe some Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Since we are in December now.
Right. And we are going to be having our new book up on the website this week, which is Won't Somebody Please Hear Me? I am happy I have a healthy baby. It's the rest of it that sucked, which is all about healing from cesarean traumas and birthing traumas. So look for that. I'm very, very excited about that.
Yeah, that is a really neat offering.
Right, and we will probably do another show on healing from cesareans just to kind of go through some of the healing process and why and how the book can actually help people with that.
Oh, great.
We'll do that probably right after the first of the year.
Watch for that show in January.
I'm excited about that. So today our topic is the drug-addicted church. I'm not talking about any church in particular, but the church in general.
That's right. There's no, no one church, but it seems to be a bit of a church culture now that people tend to look for help from psychotropics, pain medication, that type of thing.
Right. And, you know, it's like becoming a bigger and bigger problem. It's the world's acceptance of it and the push from the pharmaceutical companies has permeated even the church. So it's another area where the church isn't looking any different than the world.
Darn it.
And so we believe that Jesus heals and then we don't believe it. I mean, or we don't act like we believe it.
Well, maybe we feel like he can heal maybe physically, but not emotionally. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that a lot of people do believe that because sometimes emotional healing doesn't happen instantly.
Right.
And I know that Joyce Meyer has talked about people who have instant emotional healing also have immature spirituality.
Oh.
So it's an interesting statement because it means that you have to learn how to sit in it and go through it and trust the Lord in that. And it's not an easy thing to do. And I can attest to that. And so we're going to talk about the two areas that are the most addictive, which is the psychotropics, and then the other area is the pain medications. It doesn't mean there can't be something else. And included in the pain medications would be the opiates that we're hearing a lot about these days and the addictions to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's permeating the church as well.
Right. Yeah. I think it's really interesting that we're doing this show on the heels of our show last week with my husband, Jeff, and we were talking about his story with severe migraines and, you know, just our journey and how we were able to find him help with Harmonized Brain Centers. And I won't go into a whole commercial about that, but I do, of course, recommend that you check out the show from last week. It's a really good story.
Well, one of the key elements to that, as we've talked about today's show, is that Jeff had an option of pain medication.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And when he was experiencing these severe migraines, I will admit that he did take a fair amount of Tylenol and ibuprofen and
Right.
You know, unfortunately, those aren't addictive that I know of. And he hadn't
right.
become addicted to them. But,
right.
You know, it was, we never considered it an option to ask any medical provider for anything stronger, like a narcotic level or, you know, anything stronger. So, and it was just our choice to keep looking for, you know, other alternative methods that could help him.
Right. And, you know, it's very interesting to me with the pain meds, because, yes, if you're having a surgery or you may have had a car accident and you're trying to heal and stuff, and it can be extremely painful and it can be very difficult to sit with that pain. And so we're not faulting anyone for wanting some relief from that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know in my lifetime I get what are called borderline migraines occasionally, and I can usually knock them out with also, you know, aspirin or ibuprofen or something. But I have had a couple of times in my life where I've been so overwhelmed with the headache that, yeah, I mean, I can't really relate fully to how much Jeff was dealing with on a daily basis. But that element of there is something really wrong with me and I need to have somebody stop this pain,
yes.
you know, just being doubled over and just crying in pain and not being able to figure out how to get out of that pain. And so I can understand the desire for that.
Okay.
But I find it interesting when people are using those also for dealing with emotional pain, especially the opiates. I've had clients who've had car accidents or something and were given pain meds. And then we're in the counseling office and we'll start hitting emotional pain. And I know I had one that would have suddenly almost automatically reach into his pocket and take out like a Vicodin. And then I'd go, "What are you doing?" And he'd say, "Oh, my back's hurting again." And I finally said, "You know, it's not your back that's hurting, right?"
That's an emotional pain button that we're hitting there.
Yeah, and if you would allow yourself to deal with the pain button, it might stop the flow of these hormones that are then also causing your body to hurt, because emotional pain can magnify physical pain.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of people now turning more towards the antidepressants as well in the church. And I don't know, Catherine, that just is, I struggle with that one personally.
Right, because you yourself have a history of dealing with depression on a long-term basis.
Yeah, I have. And it's like, I had a couple of therapists along the way say, "Would you consider any medications?" And my answer was always no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Now, what, you know, somebody might try to say, "Well, maybe your depression wasn't as bad," or blah, blah, blah. Well, when the enemy's trying to get you to kill yourself, it's pretty bad. just kind of saying.
When your approximate time frame for dealing with that, I thought I remember was like 5 years.
Yeah, it was about 5 years.
That's
of
a long
very
time.
Severe depression. And, you know, the end point of depression is often because we don't feel connected and cared for. Now, that's not going to get rid of all elements of depression or all levels of it, because depression is part of the human condition. If you read scripture, there is story after story after story after story of people who are in depression. Now, the two that jump out automatically are Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and Jonah. And they both just finished doing something really great for God. So I will say that my depression also followed really pursuing doing great things for God.
Really?
Yeah. And then having, they're like Elijah, did this great thing, called down the fire of God on the 400 priests of Baal, and then it kind of goes bad for him the next day. And he just like, "Oh my gosh, I got to run away or I'm going to get killed." And that's kind of, in a way, how I felt, Catherine. You know, I've been doing God's work at a pretty high level with birthing, and then we had a bad day. And I'm not going to go into that story right now, but a very severe bad day.
Yeah.
And then it was like, no avenue for how do you deal with this grief. You know, it's like if you're in grief, the DSM, which is the diagnostic manual, wants to call it severe depressive disorder. Okay, which it turned out to be, but because people were not there to care.
Right. Do you wonder sometimes if there had been more emotional support around you, if that would have changed, you know, how that season of depression went for you?
I know so.
Yeah.
I know so. That, the you know, every human heart has a longing to be connected and cared for.
Yes.
And in our American culture, we've gotten worse at that in the church, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're so busy with the doing of life, we don't want to just have to stop our lives and care about somebody.
Right. That takes too much effort. That takes too much time out of my day.
Yeah.
Wait, it's all about me, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, here's kind of the thing that happens. Somebody goes through something very severe and they're having a hard time, and so there's a season where they need a lot of attention. So they do get grabby if we don't know how to give it to them appropriately. And
yeah.
as they get grabby, people run away because it's really difficult. So I might say to you, your depression is bothering me. So why don't
right.
you go take a drug so you can be quiet and be a good little girl, and then I don't have to be annoyed.
Mm.
Because the one thing we absolutely know about psychotropics is they cure nothing.
Right.
They only mask symptoms.
Can you tell us a little bit about what they do in the brain, or is that a pretty complicated,
well,
heady
the simplistic version is that the nerve endings in our brain don't actually touch. You know, they're called neurons, and those are the things that send our thought messages.
Uh-huh.
But they have to go across a chemical pool. And if you remember basic science
chemistry.
In sixth grade, electricity passes through fluid.
Okay.
And the chemical balance of that fluid changes when and how well those electrical currents go across. So essentially,
yes.
the drugs are designed to create what they perceive as a balance within that chemical pool so that when a message originates on one side, it'll complete in the proper place on the other side.
Okay.
So that's simplistically what they're saying.
Okay.
But there is no scientific studies that can ever be done on the brain to find out if this chemical imbalance thing really exists or not.
Mm-hmm. So if a person says, I took an antidepressant and it made me feel better, what do you suppose is going on that it actually seemed on the surface to help them?
Well, it is actually changing the hormonal imbalances of the body, which change that chemical pool as well.
Okay.
So then it can be perceived as balancing this chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
First thing,
would you call it like a short-term sort of thing, though, as opposed to?
Well, let me kind
solution?
Of frame it this way. A lot of people like to say, "Well, if I had diabetes and I had to take insulin, you wouldn't be upset." And so, me using my antidepressant is the same thing. Well, no, it's not. Okay. First of all, no quote-unquote emotional or mental disorder can be seen. In other words, we cannot test for it, we cannot study it, we cannot
X-ray
see
it.
It, we can't x-ray it, we can't blood work it, nothing. I can look, have my pancreas actually physically looked at and tested and know that it's not working.
Right.
So we actually can see that it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So insulin then becomes something that keeps you alive. It's actually a hormone your body needs to stay alive.
Right.
So the insulin is actually what keeps your life going. Okay,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
we can see that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the antidepressant actually doing for us? It's changing our perception of our symptoms and of our thinking.
Rather than actually giving us life.
Right. There's no life-giving element to it.
Yeah.
So now we're covering up and we're masking and we're pressing down and we're stopping emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember, emotion is what makes us human.
Right.
Why did Jesus come?
Well, at one point it says to give us life and give it abundantly.
Right, because our emotions are overwhelming us. Like if we go back to Elijah, he got tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to divide ourselves into parts, and we can't because the parts are all interlinked.
Yeah.
So we say, well, I'm having a mental problem. it must really be a spiritual problem. So I'll pray harder, longer, and with more faith. But yet there is physical element to the fact that I might be having. I mean, I'm going to say there is can be physical reasons why I'm depressed.
Right.
But are we doing the right thing? You go to a psychiatrist and they just give you a drug. But if you go to a naturopath or you go to a natural-oriented physician, they're mm-hmm. going to run blood work and they're going to say, are you getting the right amount of nutrients? Is your pancreas working properly? Is your thyroid working properly?
And do you need some vitamin B?
Yeah, exactly. And they can test for, are the levels of nutrient in our bloodstream high enough to keep the hormones functioning properly?
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things we want to do just really quickly, Catherine, is take a break from our topic and just invite our listeners to share on Facebook. You know, like last week, the radio show is up on our Facebook page at Dunamis Center Ministries on Facebook about Jeff. And mm-hmm. It is a really powerful interview, and it would be great to have you, our listeners, share that with their friends. I think a lot of people would benefit from it.
Right, right. Yeah, if you find that it impacts you, or maybe if you don't find that it impacts you, if you enjoyed it, share it.
Maybe it'll impact somebody else.
Right. And I would like to just say that there are other ways, of course, that you can connect with us, and I'll give those real quick. On Twitter, you can go On Twitter, go to @yourdunamislife. You can always email us, which is dunamislife@dunamiscenter.com. And you feel free to give us a call. The number is a Colorado Springs number. It's 719-231-7183.
Okay, great. Thank you. So let's go back to our discussion about changing brain chemistry.
Yes.
Okay, so one of the things that you know that I do here when I'm working with clients is if just connecting to care and just teaching couples how to care for each other doesn't change deep levels, the next phase is looking for what do we mean by a chemical imbalance, okay?
Yeah.
Well, chemicals are simply the elements within our body that process and help us to be alive and function and everything that happens, including our brain and how we think.
Right.
So, you know, looking at that would be, to me, a step way ahead of taking a psychotropic, way ahead of, okay?
Right.
And it's like you may find that many mental, emotional, depressive symptoms can just be taken care of simply by changing your diet. Okay.
Right, right. Like you said, we're connected. We're, you know, body, mind, and spirit, you know, and sometimes if that body's out of whack, it can really affect our
mm-hmm.
emotions.
Right.
You know, and be magnified there.
Right.
Even if we don't seem to have a physical disease or illness, it can still, you know, maybe it's manifesting as
right.
depression or some other
right.
mental issue.
The thing that I find so fascinating about when I say we've got a drug-addicted church
mm-hmm.
is how quickly Christians are justifying and rationalizing why it's okay for them to be on drugs. Now, am I saying that everybody should suddenly stop their psychotropics? No, I am not saying that, because that can cause rebound reactions. So these drugs you're taking for your mental stability is causing physical changes. Whereas if I take insulin, it's going to manifest itself on the physical need, but it isn't going to cause mental changes. Okay, so we have to keep
right.
that in mind too.
Right.
So if it's causing physical changes, that means that any sudden reversal will cause your body to have to go back to where it was before you started to take the drug, and that can be very startling and obvious
mm-hmm.
to you.
And so what sort of physical changes are you referencing? Like in the brain or like liver or?
Yeah, many of them you have to have your liver tested. It can impact your heart. So like if you built it up and then you suddenly stop it, it can cause heart palpitations. It can cause your neurotransmitters to just what I call tank out. Like bam, they just drop so fast that the anxiety, the depression, suicidal thinking, I mean, it can just overwhelm you, and the enemy will take full advantage of that. To oppress you.
Mm-hmm.
And but it amazes me how many people will go to a doctor and get a prescription for a pill they have to take every day. But if I say, why don't you just take omega-3 every day? That's too hard. I can't do that.
But it's the same physical task. You pick the tablet right. up out of the bottle and swallow it.
Exactly. Except for it might take a week longer for you to really notice changes.
Right, right.
And the other thing is, why don't we just do things the way that God does them, which is when you look at the story of Elijah and Jonah, both of them go into depression. And then what does God do for them in the depression?
Yeah. Do you want me to read Jonah?
Sure.
Should we see? So this is Jonah chapter 4, verse 5. Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. I don't know why that makes me smile. Jonah was happy about the vine.
He wasn't happy the whole book. That's the only time it says he was happy.
He wasn't happy about what was going on in Nineveh. But
no. Okay, but then?
So then at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. And so then God sent a scorching wind and sun blazed on Jonah's head and he grew faint. He wanted to die.
Right.
So basically, you know, God and Jonah are just kind of going back and forth about, you
know. Yeah, how we're going to do this thing.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. And Jonah's arguing with God throughout the whole book.
Yeah.
And it causes him more and more pain and distress. And so, you know, part of depression and upset and all of that, Catherine, is arguing with God.
Right. It's really interesting to me. I just noticed this. Back in verse 4, the Lord replied to Jonah, "Have you any right to be angry?"
Right.
And Jonah doesn't answer him. He just goes and sits down. And then later in verse 9, God said to Jonah again, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" And Jonah says, "I do," but he doesn't explain himself, at least not on the pages of Scripture.
Right. And then I think about Job, too, how he struggled through it, but he never really gave up on God. He did question God at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in that 5 years of depression questioning God quite a bit. But at the end of it, God said to Job, "Were you there when I made the earth and, you know, the planets, and I set the seas and the mountains? Were you there when I made man? Were you there? So who are you to think you understand anything about my plan?"
Yeah, why are you questioning me?
Yeah, and so I literally realized that a lot of what I was doing was doubting God's plan for my life.
Yeah.
And the other thing is a lot of people will say, "Well, you just don't know what it's like." Well, yeah, I do. So then, but I'm going to say something radical now that if anybody had tried to say it to me when I was in the middle of depression, it would have really made me mad, and I would have told them that they had no clue.
What's that?
And it turns out to be the truth.
No.
You have to make a decision to be better.
Mm.
And I know that sounds really simplistic, but it was not easy to do.
Much easier said than done, right?
Yeah. The decision was fine, but it's what you have to do with the decision that's not easy.
You have to choose to follow through,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And if you say, "I'm going to decide to do things God's way, so that I can be the best that I can be according to how he made me," well, I kind of have to do things God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And
which might mean different than what I did yesterday.
Right.
Or the last 5 years.
And I'm going to tell you, when I had to make the decision to stop doing what I was doing to deal with the depression, and it may be drugs for somebody else, and it was something else for me that I was using to relieve pain, I went through several days of the worst emotional hell of any of it.
Yeah.
And it was because I had to say, "I will not give in to my flesh."
Wow.
Just like any addict or any, you know, even though it wasn't medication itself. And I had to sit with God, and the enemy would lie to me on one side. "If you don't do this, you're going to be sick forever. You don't take your pills," which isn't what he was saying to me, but what he might say that to other people. "If you," and then over here I'm going, "But the Bible says that I, you know, I'm an adopted child of God. The Bible says that Jesus really cares about this. I'm going to choose to believe what the Bible says, even if I don't feel it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Would your God who says he loves you really let you feel like this?" I mean, it was just nightmarish argument.
Yeah.
But it did finally break.
Yeah. Well, and that reminds me of the scripture that says that if we are led by the Spirit will crucify the flesh.
Yes.
And we need to choose to deny those fleshly desires sometimes.
Right. And, you know,
to allow the Spirit to move.
Right. And here's the thing. Romans chapter 5 tells us, starting in verse 3. So, and not only that, but we've all also boast in our sufferings. This is what Paul says. Knowing that suffering produces endurance.
Mm.
Okay? And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Amen.
So that is literally why I'm even here today talking to you on the radio.
Mm, yeah.
Because I had to make a decision to endure the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the day that the enemy really battled me the most about the suicidal thinking. And I remember the moment that I said, I just yelled at God, fine, have it your way. Even if I never hear your voice again or have joy, I will serve you.
Mm, yeah.
And boom, everything started to break.
Wow.
And the Lord started to speak to me again.
Mm.
But what he did was he told me to do things that I had a part in it. And some of those things was taking the right vitamins and nutrients. The other was get your butt out of bed and exercise every day. Neither of which I liked, but I had to say, okay, if I'm going to choose to serve him, then I need to do what he says, even if I don't feel like it, even if I'm depressed, even if it takes too much energy.
Right, because there's a level of needing to take care of our physical body so that we can feel better about ourselves emotionally.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I want to finish up with is science. I always love when science proves, you know, your spiritual walk. And science has proven that exercise and the right diet and the right nutrients is as effective, if not more effective, than any psychotropic out there.
Yeah.
Because we know there's a number of people who will not be helped by psychotropics. So there's going to be a percentage that are going to struggle with the diet and exercise as well. But that doesn't then mean that the psychotropics are going to be that much better.
Right, right. That just means there might be an extra level of emotional care that the people around them need to offer.
Right, and that we need to learn to just trust God in it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean I never feel depressed, even
right.
though I'm pretty much, you know, out of it for the most part. But the days that I do, I just tell myself it's okay. My brain just works a certain way, and when I'm tired and I need, like Elijah, the tree to grow and the bird to bring me the food and the rest and the water, to take it, because our body is limited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Before we finish today, Catherine, I want to talk a little bit about how we function at the Dunamos Center.
Okay.
And part of it is we function by donations.
Yes.
A large part of it. And so we want you to feel free to donate. And, you know, part of what your donations do is they allow us to help marriages and families stay together.
Amen.
And as Christians, you know, my heart is just so poured out for marriages these days. And I just want us as Christians to really understand that our marriages are not just about us.
It's true. It's true. Our marriages are looked at by everyone around
us. The whole world. And it's about what testimony are we giving for who we say our Lord and Savior is?
Yeah.
And that, what difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people who can't always afford to pay even our basic registration fee, which is really low. And so your donations allow us to help marriages stay together.
Yeah.
And so that we as Christians can say, look at what Jesus has done in his church and that we are doing better than the world.
Yeah. Yep.
So I am Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we want to invite you to join us again next week.